Good morning. 00 hours.
Clear.
63 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours.
Clear.
61 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours.
Clear.
59 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours.
Clear.
61 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours.
Clear.
55 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours.
Clear.
55 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours.
Clear.
61 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good morning. 07 hundred hours.
Missed.
55 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Tim. There was a little bit of a double there. Not sure. I heard Donald say something about falling off or something like that. Go ahead and then let's see if Nick's in there now.
I was on my node until Warren, and did I drop out or fall off or something? Is that what happened?
No, we were just talking about the connection of the two systems, Central Michigan and the FBI. Nick, you know, TJ's machine, the transmitter's down, but the receiver works great. If you were trying to hear it, he ain't gonna.
Yeah, I was getting into the spot where I lose, usually the 2.6 gets a little swamped, and I'm right at 9.75, so trying to switch over, but I didn't know it was half working, but that explains why nothing came back when I punched in what I needed to.
Good morning.
All right, well,
Tim.
You sound real solid now.
All right,
so
I just have a better understanding. Thank
your
you.
Your audio quality changed a little bit. I don't know if you did something different, but you're in well now.
Go ahead, Donald. I think you doubled with Sean.
Okay, my bad. All right, well, now I understand what happened, and, you know, I just was wondering my status. Okay, back to you, and then over to Sean. I think, I don't know, now this whole thing's all discombobulated, just like me. Where's my coffee? Should be ready by now.
That's all right, Donald. It's early. It'll get straightened out eventually. No, I was in that spot, Sean, between, like, Brash and 75, where two dots make you a little picket fencing and scratching really bad. So. Good now. Richie, just get ready to get on the lodge and golf here.
Yeah, and in retrospect, I think the difference is I switched repeaters and they have a little different audio quality. It's not you. I mean, your signal is all about you're getting into the Warn, but the fact that you sound a little different is on my end. Because I switched repeaters. Idiot. Anywho, pulling in here in my little area, I've got Tim Hortons and got Tropical Smoothie and Starbucks, and there's a Dunkin' Donuts just down the street, so this is my big coffee decision intersection. Okay, I was the first one to this intersection. All right, Starbucks it is.
Plain black, boring coffee for me this morning. I got to get to Kroger's and buy some hazelnut coffee and other things to get back to what I usually like to drink in the winter. Hazelnut coffee, non-dairy hazelnut creamer, and chocolate milk in my big 24-ounce Contigo thermal mug thingamajiggy. And that'll be coming up soon because winter time is coming. And that's what I like in the winter time, hazelnut coffee.
No coffee for this guy. Never have. Never liked the taste of it. I'll make it for you all day long, but I don't like the taste of it. Nope, just trying to wrap up this project in the next day. It's been a journey, let's put it that way. About 3 blocks from the destination.
Waiting to get my coffee, I'm looking at the shark fin antennas on the car just like mine ahead of me. That reminds me, man, I got to figure out how to do an antenna on my new car. I'm going to run a tri-bander. I'm going to try to get 800 in the car as well. And I got to get one of those shark fins, see if I can tear it apart, figure out what's in it, figure if I can do an NMO up there in the hole. But I understand the hole's bigger than a 3/4, so... What's a boy to do, Donald?
Well, I've been kind of looking out, you know, at some things as well, and, you know, there's companies like MobileMark and, you know, outside the normal antenna companies like Browning and Tram and some Motorola stuff, and I'm looking at MobileMark for antennas, and, I mean, I get these companies from... where they have to do custom work in racing, and I'm hearing the problems you're having, and that's why I think I sent you some information about compact antenna and how those antennas mount off to the side in the corner of a rooftop. Just trying to throw a suggestion or something maybe helpful out your way. So if I see something, I'll send you something that might help. But yeah, you got definitely a dilemma too, and I don't know how important those. Shark fin antennas are to the rest of the vehicle, besides running your GPS and music systems and so on and so forth. If you start tearing one of those apart or taking them out, then what's a boy to do, so to speak?
Yeah, nope, I still got the two NMOs on here, one for each day, but it may look pretty good. The installer did an excellent job of location, and it works fine. So, well, I just docked here at the O, so I'm going to go in and get her started so I can get out of here on time today. So, we will catch you this afternoon after 3. Good day. 7:30. It'll be 8 in this week.
All right, we'll catch you later. Have fun. Yeah, my problem is I got that stupid moon roof, or sunroof, or whatever the hell they call it, panoramic roof. I wouldn't order one, but I didn't have a lot of choice in the matter. I mean, I don't mind having it, but boy, it makes it kind of very difficult. So I'm trying to work with what little bit of roof real estate I got. So otherwise, there'd be a hole already in the darn thing and a radio installed.
Is the glass drillable at all?
Did you ask if the glass was drillable?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how thick it is compared to sheet metal or other things, you know. If you have any, wiring running through it for like defrosting or anything like that. I don't know nothing about these, you know, panoramic moon roofs. I'm just trying to think of options because going back to my racing stuff, you know, cars are mainly carbon fiber now and or fiberglass, you know, and mounting antennas, we have to put ground planes, those like 6-inch, 8-inch metal plates. They go on the underside of the roof panel of a race car in order to create a ground plane for these quarter wave and half wave antennas that they use in racing. And I'm just trying to figure out an application where maybe a ground plane could be put in place somewhere or somehow and do it that way. But I don't know. Like I say, I'd have to talk to my guys and they could probably come up with something. They're kind of good at customizing things for custom applications like that.
Well, I can tell you, not many people have more experience with it than I, and I've never in my life seen anybody drill glass. So I wouldn't guess. No, that's not an option. We built ground planes. That's pretty common, but never drilled glass. We've got on-glass antennas that are pretty crappy. They utilize the glass, so then it sets up the capacitance of the glass, and they work that into the design of the antenna. But that's a whole different kettle of fish. Anywho, I am pulling up here at work. I'm going to get parked. I will listen out as I'm parking, and probably be out and about in a little bit here.
Well, I got to get vertical, have my coffee, start my day, even though there's nothing to do today, really important. Like I said, I got dental tomorrow, but so I don't know. And there was obviously no physical therapy yesterday because of the holiday. So, yeah, I'll just probably just fumble around, unpack my backpack from the weekend, and, you know, that's about it here. So, all right, you have a good day. Like I said, I'm just trying to talk to my guys, and you know, they've done a lot for my work over the years. They've customized cables and things like that, and they just do a lot of custom work in any kind of application. And you know, because the composites that are used in racing are, you know, no different than anything else. But then again, in all due respect, I know you've been doing this a lot longer and you're a lot more professional, but I'm just trying to come up and find that needle in the haystack that you need to make this thing work for your new car. Have a great day, and we'll catch up with you sometime later. W8RCY, coffee. Where's the coffee?
Good morning. 0800 hours.
Clear.
57 degrees.
W8FU.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It looks like it's going to be a great, cool day.
Yeah, maybe. Who else was in there? There was somebody who was a little noisy.
KCAKJL, sorry, I was sitting on Richmond Stone.
Well, good morning. Just heading out. I got some driving around to do today, so going to be in and out.
The bus drivers are getting antsy this morning. One of them just said, don't you guys all just shut up and get off the damn radio?
I have Flint, and I don't know where from there. Well, I got one in Shanghai. It's not arrived on my page yet. But that's a whole 20 minutes worth. So let's see if that changes.
Well, I've got to go. We're building a new fire station. I got to go scope that out. I got to go look at some of our cars we're sending to auction, see if I can steal a shark fin antenna off one so I can dissect it and see what's inside, what makes it tick. And then I got another meeting. So meetings all day. Driving around. Fred, where are you at today?
I'm actually home. I'm looking at my calendar. My afternoon has got multiples overlapping on it, but my morning is clear. Not really, I mean, the calendar is clear, but like, I have a stack of stuff behind me that I can now address this morning, but I'm just finishing up while going through my email. But I don't have appointments till this afternoon. And even then, I got a couple that overlap. Trying to figure out how I'm gonna. Yeah. Nope, I should be home today. Tomorrow might be a different story. But today I'll be here.
I gotta go look at cameras. And they're like, clean the lenses. I'm like, what? I don't have a lift, so I gotta scope out exactly what the issue is. And maybe do that inspection at Warren, but we'll see. So where are you flying? You're going all over the place, Sean. And those little shark fins? Oh, they kick when you put power to them.
Man, I see a lot of shark fins. They are all over the place. I got it. There we go. Oh, man, that's a GM. I was going to say, there's a wreck. I don't really want to pull one off of a car that's otherwise fully intact. But I do need to get one off of a Ford. And I got all sorts of Fords here, but these all look nice. This is a nice car's going to auction.
You don't run all over the state. You have your kingdom in your little county. I think I got a... You're talking like the little UHF shark fin antennas, or are you talking like the ones, the bigger shark fins you see on cars now?
The factory shark fin. Ford uses one pretty much across the entire fleet. And, I want to get inside one and see what's in there. I'm being led to believe that it's GPS and satellite radio. That's all they do up there. And I want to see what the insides look like. I want to see if there's a way we can work with that whole mess, get an NMO mount up in there somehow.
I think they're, like you said, satellite radio, GPS, you know, like telemetry kind of stuff. Because my 2016 doesn't have GPS or the whatever you want to call it, telemetry, no, satellite radio doesn't have any of that. But I think I got a shark fin back there. I have to look.
Well, I've done quite a bit of research on it to this point. I'm down to the actual physical. The one that's on the current boards has two coaxial cables coming off of it. There's no power wiring. There's no extended wiring. There's two RF coaxial cables coming off of it. And it looks to me like there's a circuit board kind of an affair, and there's a... Some people have described it as one of them is just a typical GPS button, and toward the front and toward the back where the fin is, it's almost a log periodic design using a circuit board for the Sirius XM. So I got to get inside one and look.
Is the goal to replace it or just add on to it without drilling extra holes?
That's pretty much it. I want to see if, you know, I was thinking if you could make a custom bracket that you would lift that off and then lay down a bracket that was cut exactly to the base dimensions, sandwich it in there, and then that could go out front or out back of the thing, come up, go out, and then you could put an NMO, you know, on that. That might be one way to do it. So I just want to see what I got to, you know, what's going on there. If you wanted to add an NMO. Oh, and by the way, I might need to talk to you about getting a couple of radios activated under your flag.
Are you really leaving? You can't leave now.
No, but these radios, a couple of Johnsons or Kenwoods, I need to get them fired up, and I want them to be active down the road. And I'll talk to you about it anyhow. So we can chat.
More toys.
All right.
Yeah, probably come with some MOUs and stuff to the group. So, anyhow, we need to do the cocktail napkin level discussions. Whole bunch of Canadian geese here in the green space between westbound and eastbound 59, just chillaxing. That is a bad road for them to just be chillaxing on. They get their old cocky kind of like, you don't tell me what to do, walk across the road, and there'll be Canadian geese feathers all over.
Got to respect the Canadian gooses.
They don't care about no tariffs.
We'll show you how we think about your tariffs. We'll be dumping our crap over here.
Oh, I'm going to drop a little Lake Ontario right here. Yeah.
Hey, we can use it for drug delivery. Cobra chicken air, that's what they'll call it.
I'm waiting for the first Amazon drone to take out a Canadian goose, start an international incident.
You see the Amazon 767 that crashed, that couldn't stop on the runway and took out like five cars, killed five people.
I heard the ATC transcript. I'm not surprised by the pilot.
I heard about it. I was just listening to Fox and they said something about it, but not much detail. KCQQ.
Well, last I read about it, while I was enjoying my morning glory, I was reading on my phone. They're still investigating everything. They haven't interviewed the pilots yet, and they're still investigating. They've got Miami Airport. They got two out of so many lanes, runways shut down, and they're canceling flights and rerouting and everything like that. So it's just a big mess still. So it's all unfolding. The NTSB is figuring it all out. But the Bezos Brigade. Crack out the checkbook.
Yeah, but it's under a completely different company, even though it says it on the side. It's all no different than the Amazon vans and the Amazon drones. They're really not owned by them. They're all LLCs.
100%. It's the same with FedEx. Even though it's a FedEx facility, there's independent contractors for the delivery. If you look on the side of the delivery truck, you'll see that.
Yeah, but that won't matter to the lawyers for the deceased. They're going to go right for the big Amazon sign. Deep in his pocket. They will find a way to make it Bezos' problem.
I wish them luck. Because if they can unveil that and get after that, that'd be good. Because they, as far as other land assets and air assets, nobody's done it yet.
I agree. Like you said, yes. Amazon, basically, hired the contractor. I'm sure the contractor too has some answers to my questions in the future. In regards to the qualifications of the pilots, who owns the plane?
Well, Tom, you're getting quite flaky there. Your signal is not great. Anyhow, hey, there's the Golden Butthole on my way to my first stop here this morning. And that's the big butthole, not the little one. But, it's the pressure that Amazon puts on these privates to, do this and do that if they want to keep the contracts. It's unreasonable, and therefore they were, blah, blah, blah. Trust me, they'll find a way to find those deep pockets. You know it.
100%. Oh, man, now I'm on Warren.
That seems better. They're talking about it now on the radio. They're saying these EMAS, this stuff that a lot of airports have, that's like foam barriers that they put in to slow the planes down, keep them from overrunning the runway. They're saying that would have prevented it. So be a good time to invest in companies that produce the EMAS barriers.
Yeah, but that has limits. It's meant for... It isn't meant if you're not, if your brakes go out completely or you're not throwing your reversers in, it isn't going to stop that. And for that distance, it wouldn't have, they would have slowed it maybe, but not,
Well, what I'm hearing... that's all they really would have needed. So, I don't know. You can bet there'll probably be a mandate. Every airport's got to have them. I think it's if you're 1,000 foot, you don't have to have them. That's the way it goes now.
I don't know. Well, DPW has these berms that are pretty high up. I mean, you can't get you into the runway when you're driving past them. I think that's what they use to keep them within the confines of the AOA.
What's scary is it ran into the Tesla parking lot. All those Teslas, and I'm sure Dave poured one out for them. He took me for a ride this weekend in his.
Oh, man, how do you rank? You had Dave time?
I had a whole afternoon of just Dave and I, and it was kind of nice. We just, after we played with his Tesla, we just sat outside in the chairs and had a really good afternoon. It was really nice.
Was it so what, Craig? You went on one of those little puddle jumpers?
Very good.
That when you look at the light radar, that it just circles around for a bit and then lands again?
But we got to get together. That was about the extent of it.
You guys mixed.
Go ahead, Tom. I jumped the gun.
No, that was the other way around. I jumped the gun. It was Fred, then you, then it was supposed to be me, and I keyed up a little too fast there, so my apologies. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just, I talked to Dave's birthday the other day. I talked to him, and we said we got to get together soon, and that was about the extent of it, so... It's, he's been a busy bee, boy, I'll tell you what.
Okay, now my turn. Sorry about that, John. So, Fred, what is it? Is it a little pole jumper that he's got, or did he get one of those little fancy, leers?
He's got a Tesla. Model Y. Blacked out really nice, or darked out, they called it. But he's got, it has the FSD and all that, and the 2,000 miles or whatever he's got on it, only 200 of it has been him driving it. It's driven 95% of itself, but since he's got it. So we let old Elon put our lives, I put my life in Elon's brain's hands, and yeah. It was interesting.
So does it, does it do from parking space to parking space? To what level can you let it take the wheel?
Wait till you see the Wavo trucks that are coming out. That's going to be a unique experience.
I'll send you the video, Sean. I made a little video of him talking to his car. But yes, he said, let's go to McDonald's. And out it went with my driveway. It did not, however, it parked at the brunch spot next to McDonald's, but it got around it. it got confused with trying to get into the McDonald's in Grand Blanc, but it was... It was there, but it made it through the roundabouts. It was, yeah, and he had it in Mad Max mode, so it was aggressive. I'm like, oh, it feels like I'm driving down by down in Detroit.
Well, you know what? What I guess is interesting to me is I can see how it will. You know, it could pull out of your parking spot and start the trip. But how does it know, like, when you get there, you know, to find a parking spot? I suppose it could do that. But, yeah, interesting. My car is, it driving, so it'll stay in the lane, it'll adjust its speed up and down, it'll do the cruise control with, full stop and all that stuff. It's about as close to self-driving as you can get without being self-driving. It's definitely not self-driving.
Oh, so you got lane assist and passive cruise control, adaptive cruise control. That's what it is. My daughter's got that on her Fusion Hybrid. That's a really nice feature. I actually enjoy that one.
Yeah, this is a $100 a month FSD, and I guess if it were, he's going from Ann Arbor to Detroit every day almost, so it makes his commute, it helps on his commute, he's just supposed to do his commutes and those things, so I guess if you're doing stuff like that, $100.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Okay, wait a minute. Ann Arbor to Detroit every day. Why is he in Ann Arbor every day? Did he move?
Because she was spending $500 a month in gas to come to stay at his place, so he's been staying at her place.
I didn't realize he was in Ann Arbor. Yeah, okay. So he's still got the place downtown, and he still works downtown. So, I mean, he's commuting either way, right? He's either commuting out there, or he's commuting from out there, So I guess it doesn't really change any way you slice it up.
Yeah, it was one of our topics, sorry.
That's pretty unique, though. I mean, you have to admit. You can talk to the car talks to you. It's like Knight Rider, except newer.
Yeah, sir. And his Grok has an attitude, or his car had an attitude, and it was hilarious. It dropped an F-bomb, but it was... where's my phone? I'm sending you this, Sean.
Well, sounds like fun. Anyhow, I am at my destination. I'm going to get inside and start my... It took me longer to get here than I had expected, although I'm still ahead of schedule, so... I will be back in a while. I look forward to seeing the video. All right. I'll make this my last. W8FU.
73, Sean, KCKKL. Throw it over to Spencer at 73.
All right. It's on its way. W8FSM. Having some Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its? Oh, I got me some. Post-its cupcakes and some type of protein drink, a bunch of snacks. Got fudge last weekend. Not the fast one, but the one prior.
Nope, Cheez-Its and a Monster. Breakfast of champs. All right, I'm going to turn my music on and start typing. Oh, my fingers are warmed up.
Alright, enjoy the day. Don't work too hard. I got the dew off the window, stopped by the office, and Auburn Hills, and headed up the plane. KCKJ.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Clear.
63 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1000 hours. Clear. 66 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network.
God, WWJ.
Rick, how are you doing this morning?
Thanks, sir. Fat, dumb, and ugly. How about yourself?
Hey, man, we must both be on the same bus. Just out and about a little bit today. Had a couple of stops to make here this morning. Now I got to run back to the ranch, check a few emails and a couple other things. Maybe get a full tank of gas, then I got to head off and get back on the road again. So a lot of running around the next day or two.
Well, that's okay, except for the traffic there. At least you're not in the 90s there and sweating your butt off. Well, I got air, but still, every time you get out of the car, you fry.
Oh, yeah, quite comfortable now. Not bad at all. So, just a lot of traffic, though, where I'm at for kind of on some back roads, heading back to my shop from one of my locations, and quite a bit more traffic for this time of the day. You wouldn't think there'd be a lot.
Where is your shop, if you don't mind my asking?
If you go, M59 to North Avenue or Grosbeck, and I'm just a little south of that, about a mile south of that. I don't know if you know where the Macomb County Jail is on Grosbeck and Elizabeth, but right there.
Oh, okay, that's too far from Warren, so you don't usually have a real long drive.
No, about 25 minutes in, and I usually just go up to Quinter and take 16-mile road across and then run up Grosbeck, but today I'm at Sterling Heights Police right now, just leaving there. So that's kind of because of the Clinton River, you got to kind of snake around, you got to drop down, take 17, loop around on Shaner and get around the river. So it's just kind of funky getting over to my shop from here.
I used to fish that river a lot, only up by Yates Cider Mill.
Yeah, I see a lot of people doing that, and all the time. I always wondered, if they look like they were fly fishing out of there, so I'm guessing there's some fly fishing going on up that way.
Yes, Pete Creek runs from Lake Orion all the way into Rochester there and then ties in right there. They stock trout in there. Plus, you got everything that comes up from Lake St. Clair. There's a steelhead. I don't know about salmon, supposedly, but if there is, they're kind of small there. But, yeah, I used to fly fish a little bit there myself But mostly I went for steelhead over there. There's one deep hole under Dequindre there by that little park. And but I learned real quick that you don't want to eat any of the fish out of there. Ah, they're nasty.
Oh yeah, that's a shame. That you know, like down by us, we have Red Run, which has been basically a sewer as long as I've lived there. You know, I mean it's not, but it is, and that's always been. It's just, you know, it's a big beautiful river. You know, it really is, and I'm sure at one point, you know, but now it's just sewage from Oakland County. You know, and those aren't ducks as. What was his name? He used to scream on the radio all the time. Who was the guy? He was kind of like before Rush Limbaugh. He was on 1270. Mark Scott. Mark Scott used to pound on the table and say, "Those aren't ducks."
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah, it's a shame that, you know, from Yates down there, there's a lot of shops and businesses and a lot of things, and they dump a lot of stuff into the river there, kind of thing. And I took home a nice steelhead from there one time, thinking, oh boy, this is going to be good, you know. And I cooked it up, took the first bite, and I just about choked to death.
Yeah, and then if you take any duck from you know, down this way, they taste like teeth a bit, you know. So it's just the nature of being down this way.
Well, it's not just down that way, I don't think. It's kind of all over. There's deer dying all over the country, EHD. There's just pollution everywhere. It's a nasty thing, but I think people think just, well, okay, you know, the places not around here are okay kind of thing, you know what I mean? But they're not. You think, well, you know, where you buy your eggs, where you buy your food, where you buy this and that. It all comes from somewhere else, and that's okay. It's not as polluted as around here. That's why you just don't pollute anywhere, you know what I mean? It's getting pretty nasty, and there's only one damn world.
Yeah, I see some of these crazy billionaires talking about colonizing Mars for humans. Saying, if you got the money to colonize, you know, to make Mars habitable, you got the money to fix this place. Let's do that first.
Yeah, exactly. It's like everybody takes water, fresh water, for granted, kind of thing. And it's not like there's more and more and more of it all the time being generated or whatever. A lot of the ultra rich have been. The largest concentration of fresh water, from what I understand now, is in South America. And all of the ultra-rich are buying up just huge square miles of ranches and acreages in South America just so they can have whatever's, you know, fresh water is left. We're driving the bus down the wrong way, down the road kind of thing. We need to get something straightened out here. And you're right, we could straighten this stuff out if we wanted to, but nobody seems to want to. But anyway, I'm ranting.
Oh, it's always good to rant, but yeah, it's, you know, in that event, we got it good compared to, you ever seen some of the squalor, like a city and stuff like that, where, I mean, talk about polluted, the rivers are just floating with garbage, you know? You know, and toxic, and you know, it's the only water, fresh water for you know, for miles. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, when I see some of them places, it just makes me sick, kind of thing. And then you think, well, why don't people just get the heck out of there, kind of thing. They can't get anywhere else, you know. And oftentimes, wherever you're going to go to is probably just as bad as where you live.
Yeah, I wonder, you know. So, I read something, speaking of the water, you know, there's, of course, I think that we haven't even scratched the surface of the battles, the wars for the Great Lake watershed. I think we're going to see at some point all these people, all these idiots move to the desert and now they're all crying because they don't have enough water. Well, what'd you think? You moved to the desert. You know, and now they're saying, well, we'll just take the Great Lakes water. No! You know, it's like, you know, then we're unreasonable. You know, you got all that water. And I heard something that, you know, most of the water in the Great Lakes is, like, so glacial melt that it's not, it doesn't, you know, renew. You know, it doesn't refill. You know, and, you know, the vast majority of it's still glacial melt.
Yeah, you're right, and California already tried that. They wanted to get a pipeline from the Great Lakes over to California to feed all their lawns and water, and then all of the folks in the desert moving to the desert and realize we don't have any water kind of thing, but I don't think that went very far for everybody to just shut that right down. But they'll be at it again, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, no, I think it's going to get worse. I think, you know, they've made their opening, you know, their opening shots, and it got shut down pretty easy now. But I think as time goes on, they get more desperate. I look at the situation of Lake Mead and all that stuff out that way, and, you know, they're at dire straits. They're at the point now where it's, you know, the party's over. And so now they're going to be looking to do things, you know, emergency action stuff, and you know, because they got it. You know, you got to move that water. You can't keep that up there. There's people going, you know, dying down here. You know, so you know, before it was, yeah, but with Lake Mead and things like that drying up, you're going to have dire straits. I think the real solution is move.
Yep, and then you got like Nestle, corporations like Nestle. They got a water pumping plant in the middle of, right in the middle of the lower there. I can't remember the name of the town. I used to go by it all the time. Anyway, they were pumping. This was quite a long time ago. They were pumping like 1 million, 2 million gallons a day of well water from, you know, underneath Michigan here. And bottling it and shipping it all over the kind of place, and they were always twice what the state is allowing. The state knew about it, and then after a few years they allowed them to go 2 million, and then they started pumping 4 to 8 million a day. This has been going on for year after year after year. Everybody's in the area's water tables dropped enough to where they all had to put in new wells. Ponds dried up. The signs were everywhere, but. You know, the corporations, they got to keep on rolling, and the state's got to keep getting that money in their pocket. So, it's just, everywhere you turn, it's just crap.
Oh, yeah, and then you got fracking. Fracking uses an exorbitant amount of water, but more than anything, it's how do they get rid of the wastewater? Because it's the wastewater that's the real problem with fracking. And fracking is a real thing. It's, you know, if done responsibly, and if they account for the wastewater and all that, it's not that big a deal. I know they talked about the earthquakes, but they were there before the fracking. But responsible fracking can be, you know, can be managed. Let's see here. Got a couple of roundabouts I got to deal with here. Always good to pay attention when you're entering a roundabout. Had a woman stop in one earlier today. Stopped in the roundabout to let me on. I'm like, no, go, you're on the roundabout. You know, it's like, God, where do these people learn? Anyhow, I digress.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, they did the same thing over here on Maple. All the way through West Bloomfield here on Maple, they put roundabouts. You just can't go from the north side to the south side of Maple without going through these roundabouts. He gave people, I don't know what it was, a year or so to get used to the roundabouts kind of thing, and now they put traffic lights in the middle of the roundabouts. At each, you know, what used to be one intersection is now turned into four intersections. and they have traffic lights in there so that if the pedestrians want to cross the road, they hit a button, the light turns red, and everything stops. And it's insanity.
That is crazy. I'm getting pretty close to the shop. Got about a mile to go, but back just to circle back on the water thing. you know, I was going to say Zubov, Nestle, and, you know, and then the fracking, you know, I brought that up. And, but, you know, another one that's really, I was reading up, you know, what is it about data centers that's got everybody's panties up in a bunch? And, I guess it's the water. I guess they use just exorbitant amounts of water and power, the power requirement. So, you know, they move into an area, and they so compete with the local residents for power and water that their utilities end up going up significantly. And it's like, you know, that's horse crap. And, you know, and then now they have noise, and they generate, you know, heat, you know, and the microclimate in and around them changes. And, you know, so between, you know, when you add all that, and then, you know, they have a lot of jobs when they're building them, but after they're built, they employ, you know, 30 people, you know, so it's like they're mostly unattended, you know, so it's not like they bring jobs. So I didn't know what the complaints were about these data centers, but one of them was the water consumption. I guess it's just outrageous.
Yeah, I wondered the same, what everybody was uproar about with the data centers. And then so for me, I just figured it was privacy. More places to store more data on everything we look at and read and touch and they sell, and then they know better how to market to us and, you know, and that kind of thing. So I figured it was all the privacy stuff, but what you were saying makes a whole lot more sense. And, yeah, the fracking, too, I remember watching editorials about people that live near areas that were fracked, and they could take a match at their kitchen sink and light a match under the faucet there, and it would burn. There'd be gas coming out of there.
Yeah, I saw some of that. I think that was in Pennsylvania or somewhere. That was crazy. So my son-in-law works in that industry, and for a little while he was involved with that, and we talked about it quite a bit, and he was explaining the difference between, you know, a lot of the, you know, that's the problem, you know, it's if it's done correctly, you know, and all the environmental, you know, issues are adhered to, you know, then it's a very useful and very productive tool. But, you know, the problem is you get these, you know, people underbid, or they get the low bidder, or, you know, these fly-by-night companies that want to get in on the game. Well, they're not doing all the due diligence, and, you know, they're the problem, you know. So, but if you do it right, not a bad thing. All right, Rick, I'm just pulling up here at the shop. I got to get inside, do a few things, and then I can get on my way for my next stops a little bit later on.
Okay, yeah, that reminded me. I remember, I haven't heard about it in a long time, but there's a lot of corporations that ship their toxic, really nasty toxic stuff out to the international water and dump it in 55-gallon drums there, because if they get caught, it's like a $25,000 fine. But to get rid of the stuff legally costs them $1 million. So it's a good business to dump them in the ocean. Anyway, have yourself a good one there, and be careful out there. We'll catch you later. KEAWOJ.
All right. WAW.
AAAUHD. Go ahead.
Yeah, you and Sean talking about the roundabouts and the traffic lights, and you can thank the Bernstein that's on the Supreme Court for that years ago when they built one in Oyster Lake, you know, so he could go through because his sight was. You know, with his, and he does jogging.
Yeah, that freaked me out when they did that. And as soon as they put that roundabout, For your other cars, he's... Anyway, one of the usually talks with people they had on WTR. Hey, you know, he talks to the solicitors, you know, and Horseshoe Lake, he has this nice roundabout in there, and then you're pushing to have them put traffic lights in it. You know, it's going to cost, or redesign it, it's going to cost another, a lot of money. Yeah, I think you're talking about the one on Orchard Lake, right at 14 Mile there. That seems to be the highest accident.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Clear. 66 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours. Clear. 73 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours. Clear. 79 degrees. Good afternoon, 1400 hours. Clear. 79 degrees. Good afternoon, 1500 hours. Clear. 79 degrees. Good afternoon, 1600 hours. Clear. 81 degrees. Good afternoon, 1700 hours. Clear. 79 degrees. Good evening, 1800 hours. Clear. 79 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours. Clear. 75 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours. Clear. 73 degrees. Good evening. 21 hours.
Clear.
73 degrees. Good evening. 22 hours.
Cloudy.
73 degrees. Good evening. 23 hours.
Cloudy.
73 degrees.